It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies and Pizza, South Philly, as we always are on Fridays. Big games always better with crab fries. Online at chickiesandpizza.com, the official sports bar of your world champion Philadelphia Eagles. And the official meteorologist of the WIP Afternoon Show, like it or not, is one Tornado Shapiro. Tornado.
Yeah, I told you, baby, don't worry about it. I got to go in the air and we're going to see you right after. You know I love you.
Hey, Tornado.
The heat wave is over, friends. The shut-ins have survived. It's safe for your pets, your elderly, and your infirm. Time to leave the free air condition of the library. Music, please!
It's the game day forecast from the world's most accurate and famous meteorologist, Tornado Shapiro.
You gotta like the sound of that after a brutal week. Chelsea wears a Speedo and the Phillies can't score in a Houston prison with a fistful of 20s. 26 and two-thirds innings. You know, I had a drought like that once. I was in the Midwest, very similar to the old Dust Bowl of the 1930s. I worked out at KDDRY the Parts. Weather gal by the name of Bertha Blue, she blew in and broke the streak. We called her the Dustbuster. Cloudy tonight, but still warm, low of 67. Ike, you got to help this team. The Phillies might need some of your blue chew.
I knew it.
Put some pine tar back on the old Louisville slugger. Rejuvenate the lumber, friend. Fritzy.
Wow.
Are they squeezing the bat too much there, Fritzy?
They might be.
Come on. This isn't hard, fellas. Yes, the Phillies limp over to Atlanta with their tail between their legs. You know, I was humbled once in Atlanta back in the late 90s. I was out to dinner with Chief Nakahoma and his wife, Marjorie. No reservations, just walked right in. The chief had the tomahawk steak. Marjorie had a little problem in the bathroom. There was no TP. You know,
get
the
it.
Brains, they once had a fella by the name of Bruce Chen. In fact, he played for the Braves and the Phillies and the Mets and the Expos and the Reds and the Astros and the Red Sox and the Orioles and the Rangers and the Royals and the Indians. Ken got passed around more than a doobie at Hollis Thomas's house. Come on! Speaking of Hollis, one night we were out at Bacchanalia in Atlanta. You familiar, Ike?
Yeah, I think I heard of it.
Well, you ought to be. It was me, Ike, Hollis, Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, Ray Diddy. By the way, no. Ray doesn't like to be called Diddy anymore. No pictures, please. So Jimmy Buckets and Tobias were both hitting on a hot weather gal by the name of Sarah the Setting Sun. Sarah ended up leaving with Tobias, and Jimmy couldn't get over it. You could hear him screaming, "Tobias Harris over me!" Well, we all came back the next night. It was me, Ike, Jane Fonda, Dominique Wilkins, and Jeremiah Trotter. So Trot sits down. Right away, Ike says something to Jane Fonda about seeing Ted Turner in her leg warmers, and then he points at Trot. Fonda goes after Trot. Trot got tossed even before his salad. Saturday, not quite 90, 50-50. Dance of tea storms. Again, make sure the gals are drinking their fluids. Come on.
All right. What is wrong with you, man?
The Sixers pick is from the Bahamas.
Yeah, VJ Edgecombe.
I used to run with a Bahamian weather gal. I worked
of course.
Down in Freeport, I worked there for a summer. WWBAHA, the Reef. Ba-ba-boom. Talk about some Nassau knockers. A voluptuous beauty, but nothing but trouble. You know it's pink, right?
Whoa.
The sand. It's pink sand.
Oh, right. The sand. Yes.
That relationship was short-lived. I don't need that kind of Bahama drama. Did you ever snorkel naked with the dolphins, Spike?
Can you get us the forecast, please?
Sunday, more of the same, not quite 90. 50-50 shot of sea storms. Flip a coin, son. Heads, you're happy, and tails, you're all wet. Hopefully a shower will cool us off, but I can't guarantee it. You're only getting this kind of courageous forecast right here. And the name is Tornado Shapiro. Finally, some outro music.
Nope.
215-5.
He said flip a coin, by the way.
Wow. Yeah.
That was his weather forecast.
Yeah, flip a coin.
Yeah.
Well, it's 50-50.
Yep.
Most accurate.
Yeah.
He's going to be right.
Yeah, doesn't miss.
215-592-9494. Brian in South Philly, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. Listen all the time, calling a little bit, get on. Good show. I don't know how I'm going to follow that one up, but I jumped right on the phone after Ike put a contract out on everyone in Philly, Ted, because he was on that Ike juice, of course, with the chewing. And I would definitely say, I mean, all right, how about the ESC thing? All right, would you trade one of these guards? Would you trade
not now.
High stock right now? Not at all.
Not right no. now. Not no. right this second. Just,
right.
I mean,
right.
don't.
Do,
well, do, don't you want to wait to see how it works out and who's, like, don't you want to see how good Jerry McCain is first? Don't you want to see Edgecombe first? Like, you need four guards. They have four guards.
Yeah, well,
like,
I'm just a little out. I'm a little out on the choices. So, honestly, if you ask me if I want to see how their choices are going to go out, yeah. I might say no on that.
All right.
But
okay.
I think the Phillies. I think we got that the classic Philadelphia.
Oh my God.
Philadelphia loyalty for some strange reason, which you can see in a couple people. But I think this happens once in a while, where like whomever the management is falls in love with a couple people, and now I feel like. So the answer to the Phillies question is I feel worse, and I bet I'll continue to feel worse. Because I don't feel like there's a hot spark that jumps them into like some sort of like.
Hey Brian, you start the weekend early.
A hot what?
You start the weekend a little early.
Yeah, always. I'm heading to
yeah.
the beach.
You're driving, really? Yeah. I hope not.
Yeah.
I hope you're riding. You said riding, right?
What's your favorite movie since 2000?
Hangover.
Dark Knight. I saw it 15 times.
Yeah, it's
another
answer.
Great one.
And the last thing, all about this Alita's Eagles thing, I'm just venting here because if Harper was on Instagram, Harper's on Instagram doing coffee, and AJ's on the sideline doing a book. So I think
I think
Phillies would get the Eagles would get crushed if anybody in the Eagles would do that.
Do what?
Do what?
You don't think the Eagles are on social
coffee,
media?
Make coffee on TikTok?
Yeah.
Yeah, make coffee on TikTok. The Eagles social media is by far better than the Phillies. Do you follow them? You guys
okay,
watch
bro.
Look at
sure. Yeah, of course.
What are we
bro,
for?
Bro, right. Darius Slay went on Micah Parsons' podcast the day after an Eagles loss and said that the other guy in the secondary wasn't a leader. Like, are you being serious?
Perfect. And this is my point. They handle it better. They're still driven. They're motivated. They're going after...
No other team's motivated. This is what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about. He made TikToks in the off season. Like, who cares?
Nobody. Matter of fact, I'm mad I got
I mean,
to it late.
Obviously, they don't care. That's my point. Obviously, they don't care.
Why?
Why don't?
Yeah, why don't the Phillies care?
That they don't care?
Yeah, why don't the Phillies care?
Because they're not making any of the moves. Like, you're
right.
talking about all right. day.
We're talking about the players.
What are we doing?
I know. Yeah, I know. It's hard to argue.
No. Yeah, it wasn't worth it. That was not worth it.
I know.
So Sunday is a big day in that we have heard about DeCamera versus Fritz for seemingly months now.
Yeah, a year, feels like.
And we have the first athletic matchup between Jack Fritz and Joe DeCamera Sunday.
Now, would you say it's an athletic matchup because it's golf?
Ah!
I'd say it's athletic, but not a sport.
Okay.
Interesting. All right.
We'll parse our way through that
Yeah, well, it's very easy to parse. I found it.
I'm struggling to parse.
So it's nine holes, you versus DeCameron?
Yeah, in match play. So it's not stroke play, which means like if I beat him by four strokes in a hole, it doesn't matter.
Right.
So because there's only one up.
How do you feel about that?
I don't love it. It's going to keep it more competitive.
Yeah.
Which is why we're doing it.
Which is why we're doing it.
I want, okay, in my head, I want at least 6-3.
Well, yeah. So in my head, I wanted to end in five.
Yeah, I was going to say it's over after five.
Oh, are you going to play the full nine holes?
If we get it done.
Because I want a full score. That's my point.
Yeah.
I guess we'll finish it out.
If you're going to play the full nine holes, then you may as well do stroke play.
Well, I mean, we'll probably play the full nine holes, but we'll be done after. I don't know how it's all going to work out.
I'm saying if you win the first six holes, what's the point of playing the other three holes?
No, I know. Are you for fun.
Are you guys using a cart or walking?
I think we're using a cart.
You think the camera's going to walk nine holes?
Well, either of them, to be honest.
I'll be fine.
Okay.
It'll be in the 90s Sunday.
Is it? I thought it was going to be like high 80s, maybe settling in that 82 now, to 83
Does it make
range.
You more nervous that Ike and I are coming?
Sure. Yeah, okay. I don't need that. But
90 Sunday.
Really? All right. I was only worried about the heat for pitching. I mean, if it's super hot for pitching, that's going to be worse for me.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm looking forward to it. My game, I feel, is pretty.
Golf I had marked as an easy Fritz win.
Yeah, and I think the camera's in the same boat.
Okay.
Yeah, I was on yesterday. He didn't seem too confident in his golf game.
Okay. Golf, you mean?
Dude, he's trying to do the old reverse psychology thing with you. He wants you to come in feeling confident. Now, granted, you're still going to smack him Sunday with the golf thing. But his whole idea is now that you're closer to doing actual competitions, he wants to be humble.
Yeah, I know, which is very odd.
He started off with a lot of
bluster.
Yeah, a lot of talk, a lot of trash talk.
Well, he said yesterday, never
Boban and all that other stuff.
He said yesterday when I was on, he's like, yeah, I never said I was going to win. And I was like, and he's like, I think I'm going to win. I'm like, well, no. It's been a lot of talk about how elite of an athlete.
Well, maybe it's like you with the Phillies. Maybe he's like, you like to set the bar low with the Phillies.
Well, yeah, sure.
And let me tell you this. He is, without a doubt, shaken with the lack of support he's getting on the morning show.
I would be shaken, too.
He does not like that.
I would be shaken, too.
He was complaining all day yesterday.
Yes, he does not like that because he doesn't have a safe place.
No. Well,
I mean, we're coming after him. He can't even have a safe place in his own show.
No, Richie hates him more than we do.
And I even got Rhea yesterday.
Oh, really?
Now, Rhea's obviously pro-Joe.
Yeah.
Just for the bit.
Right.
But, I got her on the throwing thing where I said, you know, like I was trying to have catches with my kids growing up after she called me soft.
I got a big laugh.
So I broke Rhea.
There you go.
Well, that'll be on Sunday. And
it'll be revealed, I guess, 7:20 on Monday morning.
Monday morning?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I won't tweet about it.
Yeah, we can't.
Hope I don't.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah.
Let me tell you, if you lose, I'm coming in.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. No, I know. I'm looking forward to it. I want that first drive to get out of the way.
Get that first drive
out of the way. Get the nerves out.
Yeah.
Get the nerves out.
There's nerves!
There's 100% nerves.
Yeah,
man,
come on.
Buck up, man.
There's always nerves.
No nerves.
There's no nerves when you go to Colonial Hyundai either. There shouldn't be any nerves. No, come on. It'll be fast, easy, and better. Faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai at Colonial. They got a beautiful new dealership. They got a staff ready to help you. They got the cars are there ready to give you 20% off any new Hyundai in stock. 20%? You heard that right. That's up to 10 grand off. And you don't have to be nervous about your trade either. No. Piece of junk, maybe. They're going to give you $6,500 guaranteed no matter what condition it's in. So no nerves there either. No nerves either because every Hyundai is going to leave Colonial with 3 years of complimentary maintenance and America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain with Hyundai Assurance. Online, 24/7, ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. In-stock vehicles only. Tax and tags additional. Offers can't be combined. See dealer for full details. Offer expires June 30th, 2025. All right, so Sixers on Wednesday night select Vijay Edgecombe with the third pick in the draft. Last night, they had the 35th overall pick, the fourth pick in the second round, and they get Jani Broome, who I had not heard of, is a center at Auburn. He projects to be their center or power forward, depending on how he shoots in the NBA. He had a monster season. Like, I was not aware of him. I don't watch college basketball.
Yeah, Auburn. Yep.
Yeah, Auburn. He would average 18 points, 11 rebounds, 2 blocks. Yeah. Was a finalist for the Wooden Award. Is it, like, from a motor standpoint, looks like a monster. He said that he actually met with the Sixers 2 years ago when he was considering coming out early. They told him what he needed to work on. So he went back to college and worked on all those things. So, like, the negatives about the guy are, you know, anytime you have a four-year senior, mm-hmm. you start to think, you know, that's why he's not going in the first round. Physically, he is limited in that he doesn't have a very big, like, vertical leap. Like, he's not a big jumper or anything like that. He's not particularly fast, but he dominated college basketball. So I think what they're doing is they want guys who are hard workers, who are good culture guys, which he is both of those things. And I have to be honest with you, you hear about him not being a great athlete, but then you watch his college highlights, and he was bullying all of those guys. Yeah. Like, he looked like a grown-up playing with children.
Well, he was.
Yeah. Yeah, he's 22 years old. Yeah. But I don't know. I like, you know, it's the 35th pick in the draft. We've certainly had our plenty of guys who have, you know, what they say is upside by their physical tools or whatever. But I don't know. You take a shot on a guy, you know, I don't think you want to take a 22-year-old limited athletically with a top five pick, but with the 35th pick in the draft, I don't know. Like, I like that they're doubling down on hard worker culture guys, and 35th pick in the draft doesn't bother me.
I got no problem with the kid. Congratulations. He's a Sixer. I don't know how much optimism I have. He's going to be a nice role player.
Yep.
If he doesn't mind doing the dirty work, he could be somebody that we love because he comes in and he doesn't need to have plays called for him. He always seems to be in the right place, making the smart, heady play. You love those types of players. I don't want a team full of guys like this because, quite frankly, those guys are nice to sort of have and compliment initially. But when it doesn't lead to wins and you need guys to get buckets and all those things, then being great character guys and system guys that want to fit in, it doesn't do a whole lot for you. Eventually, you reach your ceiling, and that's all that you are.
Oh, sure. I'm just saying in the second round. Yeah. I don't. And you know what? We haven't had enough of – we're supposed to have the guys that do all the stuff that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, it is the rest of the roster where we were deficient last year. You had Eric Gordon, who didn't want to be there, Kyle Lowry, who's 100 years old.
Yeah.
You know, Caleb Martin, who couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah.
So, like,
but we fall in love with those guys, the Kelly Oubre's. Like, we fall in love with these guys until we need them in the playoffs.
Well, but in the playoffs, I'm not worried about the seventh. Like, I want the seventh guy to get in there and cause havoc.
Yes.
Like, I want a seventh guy to be the guy in there to go get a rebound that needs to get.
Yeah.
The buckets, like, if Embiid and Paul George, if they have $150 million in those three guys,
yeah.
If those guys aren't the guys that are hitting shots in the playoffs, then we're screwed in.
It's less about him. I'm using him as the example.
Yep.
It's more about the McCains
yeah.
and the Edgecombs. Like, yeah. like, and even Maxey. Like, you sort of start feeling differently about Maxey. Remember when Maxey first got here, he was anti-Ben Simmons, so everybody loved him, right? He's a great kid. He smiles. He works hard. He just want to be a part of the team. And now we're like, Maxey, we're going to trade this dude. We've seen the best of him already. And I got to look at the team and almost project not having the two guys, PG and Embiid. So when I'm building a team moving forward, I'm saying, okay, if I don't have these guys, now I just got a team full of hard workers, and do I max out at 41 wins, 42 wins? Let me ask you this real quick, and I'll move on from the Ace Bailey situation. I don't believe the Sixers didn't take Ace Bailey because of talent. I believe they didn't want to deal with this. Like, you got to make a pick with a guy, and the last thing they wanted to do was make a pick with a guy who doesn't want to be here and deal with this stuff. So I say that to say, did we get the best player, or did we get a guy that we're like, it's a safe pick? Did we get the safe pick there versus having a guy that is truly going to be a difference maker?
I truly, I say this, I don't know what Ace Bailey, aside from making hard shots, I don't know what Ace Bailey is better at than VJ Edgecombe. He's not a better athlete. He's not a better ball handler. He's not a better shooter. Like, I think, like, we have this idea of what we think Ace Bailey is compared. Remember.
Now, y'all realize every scout had him ranked as the third best player in the draft.
But that's not true. Early on. But you look at big boards at the end, and it was like he was 5'6". Like,
yeah, but how much of that was because of what he and his guys were maneuvering?
I can tell you that there is a lot of skepticism about Ace Bailey, the basketball player. Like, there's a lot of skepticism about that. And I have heard from enough guys who are questioning, like, his free throw rate is too low. He doesn't get himself open shots. He shot 69. Like, even the shooting part of it, which he's supposed to be great at.
Yeah.
Like, he shot 34% from three. And, like that's not good.
I agree, but all that stuff was there. That was already there when he was still being ranked there.
Yeah, but
it was when he wouldn't do interviews and workouts and all this other stuff that the negative stuff started being put out there about Ace Bailey. I didn't hear all this stuff prior to that.
Well, but I don't think that there's serious talk about it prior to that. Like, I think once the I can say this. As soon as the Sixers got the third pick, it was not like it was not a lock that they were taking Ace Bailey at that moment. At least in everyone that I talked to.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, forget whether the Sixers were going to take. I'm just saying how people viewed him. Like, he was pretty much viewed. Even Jay Billis was still saying the upside on the kid. This was draft night. Listening to him, he was saying the upside on the kid is of a number one overall pick. All I'm saying is I hope the Sixers, I understand why they did it. I got no problem with not taking Ace Bailey. I'm just saying I feel like they didn't take him more so because they didn't want to deal with the headache versus he's not a good basketball player.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true. I don't know that it is or that it isn't. I can tell you that Morey, as a general manager, would not make a decision that way. Now, if you're an owner and you've already had James Harden didn't want to come back and then Ben Simmons didn't want to come back, the headache of then the number three pick in the draft after the season that you had doesn't want to show up here.
Yeah.
And by the way, depending on how serious they are, if he's really going to sit out, then you're screwed again. So I don't know. But I also know that every time we talk about upside, you have to think about what are the odds that the guy hits the upside. And you have to think about, like,
isn't that what we're doing with Edgecombe?
Well, yeah, but like, take Jaylen Brown, right? Mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown came into the league as didn't have much of a handle, didn't have much of a shot, played 16 minutes a game his first year.
Yeah.
16 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And ended up winning finals MVP. And I think in part because they bet on a guy who would work hard enough to reach his potential. So, like, potential.
Well, he still was the number three pick in the draft.
Yes, but he still played 16 minutes a game.
They were a good team,
year.
Though.
Yes.
But I mean, he got drafted by a good team is what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Had he got drafted by a bad team, he would have played more than 16
sure.
minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. But he had huge weaknesses. Like,
he was
a head-scratcher as the number three pick in the draft for a lot of people. So I guess my point is that to a certain extent, yes, you can be talented, but you also have to work to eliminate your deficiencies and get better. And there's plenty of players like who have plenty of who's the guy that the Heat drafted years ago, the one-on-one guy
from the Heat.
Yeah, the Heat got after they were bad that one year.
The dude from Duke.
No.
Not Justice Winslow.
No.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
A great one-on-one player.
Oh.
Great bucket getter.
Shabazz Napier.
No. He's like a wing.
Recently, in the last 5 years?
No. Last 15 years.
Okay.
He
didn't stick with them?
He played there for a while. Hold on. You'll remember him as soon as I say his name.
Here it was.
Hang on. I know there's somebody in their car bashing the... Michael Beasley.
Oh, Beasley, yeah.
Super
sure.
talented.
Yeah.
Never became anything.
Well, Beasley's he's a little off.
Well, so is a guy who's not showing up to the team that just drafted him.
I understand that. I understand that because he didn't want to be there. I understand why he's doing that. I'm past that part. I'm just saying what is that? So that means he's not going to reach his potential because he doesn't want to play in Utah?
No, I'm saying that it can speak to his ability to reach his potential.
I don't know.
Of course, sure, sure it does.
Well, anything can speak to his ability.
Yes,
not to make.
Yes, that's why this is hard.
But not wanting to play for a team where you're going to have to possibly come off the bench versus being somewhere where you could be either the top one or two go-to guy on offense, because that's what your specialty is scoring, and wanting to be in that situation so that you can actually play, I don't view that as a negative.
I do.
I don't.
Yeah, I do.
I don't. Plenty of players do it. Players want to be somewhere where they're going to be able to be at their best. It's not his job to be like, I understand why we as Sixers fans wanting to come in, be a team guy, take whatever role, and go win. But from his individual standpoint, he has no tie to any city or any team. He's thinking about himself and what's going to be best for him moving forward in his future. And as an 18-year-old coming out, like, didn't Bryce reclassify early so he could hit free agency early?
Yeah.
Something like that. So that's, how's that any different than a player trying to, like, maneuver? Because it's about the money. That's what it is. I don't think he dislikes a city. He just wants to get to a situation where he's going to maximize his financial ability to get money. Like, that's what he wants to do. And he can't do that on the Sixers. That doesn't mean he can't reach his potential.
I disagree. I disagree on that. Because
well, I'm just saying that's what he feels.
That's what he feels.
That's what he feels.
Yeah,
that's
for
what
sure.
he feels.
High Hope Shacky Baseball Report is next.
Oh, yeah.
215-592-9494. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Hey, Jack, aren't you hanging out with Joe Conklin sometime soon?
Of course I am. Of course I am. Join me at the Ocean City Boardwalk on Saturday, July 12th. For Joe Conklin and the City Rhythm Orchestra. I'll obviously be out front signing copies of Ring the Bell.
Not telling jokes?
No.
Okay.
We got Robbie E. there, too. It's a huge, huge night.
Big night.
Yeah.
Down the Ocean City Board. Go to joeconklin.com for tickets.
JoeConklin.com!
This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.